Good to see you. Welcome to all those who are watching on the web with us today. We're happy you're here. We often read through the end time events that Jesus tells us about in Matthew 24. And many times we focus on the big events. We focus on the wars or the religious persecution, false teaching. Those are the things that we see that Jesus warns about and what the world will be like at his return. We're coming to the end of a very odd calendar year, hard calendar year. I don't want to get into calendar issues. You know, we go by the calendar. This is how we measure time in our everyday life. But we've been through something that most people haven't been through in their lifetimes, especially here for us in the States. We've been through this crazy election that's divided the nation, split right in two, and we're still enduring this pandemic. And that brings us back to Matthew. We read about what the signs will be like prior to his return, the return of Jesus Christ. And there's one specific sign that I would like to focus on today. So Matthew 24, we'll read here. Matthew 24, one verse, one that we're all comfortable or familiar with. Because lawlessness will abound, the love of many will grow cold. This is it's more than just a marker, I believe, for us as the Church of God. It's more than just a marker of what the world will be like, but I think it's also a warning. It's a warning for us. And this is just as important for us to recognize in the world and in ourselves as some of the other things that we read about in Matthew 24. And there's a few questions I have about this specific verse, and that's what I'd like to go through today. Question number one, whose love? Whose love is going to grow cold during this time? Well, starting in verse 9, we see that Jesus sort of directs his attention to those sitting around him. He says, they will deliver you up to tribulation, and they will kill you. You will be hated by the nations for my name's sake. Then many will be offended, betray one another, will hate one another. Many false prophets will rise up and deceive many. You can only be deceived if you've known the truth beforehand. Because lawlessness will abound, the love of many will grow cold. He who endures to the end, though, shall be saved. He's directing this to his followers, those who are there sitting with him, to us. We should take note of the words here. Because of the state of the world, we may have different opinions about what's going on, how things should be, what decisions should be made. But we must be careful not to let what we feel about something that's not doctrine, get in the way of being a body of believers who show love. We cannot let what we see going on around us stop us from being who we're supposed to be, people who have love for one another. We as a body must make sure that love is not just a part of our Christianity, but it is. And obviously, we're to be a people who follow Jesus Christ, to be imitators of him. That's why we keep the Sabbath days. That's why we keep the feast days. He led a perfect life. That's the example he set for us. His life is our example that we see what perfection should look like. We should be recognized as obedient followers. But isn't it interesting? When Jesus talked about obedience and commandments, he said, if you love me, keep my commandments. There's that word again, love. If you love me, obedience should be our expression of love towards him. Love is still the key factor. How does the love of Jesus look? Well, he gave his life. He gave his life for us. He gave his life for a world that's still in sin. Do we show that kind of love? That kind of love that Jesus had? Is that reflected through us? the state of the world and the politics and the unrest that we see around us shouldn't get in our way of being loving. It shouldn't be a distraction. It shouldn't take us away from showing that love. That was number one. Whose love? I believe it's talking about our love. Question two, love towards what? Love of what? What is going to grow cold? The word here in Matthew 24 is agape, a word that we're all familiar with. We've heard sermons about for years. This is talking about a self-sacrificing love. And if we put other scriptures together, we see that the great commandments are love towards God and love towards man, our neighbor. And a loss of this kind of love is selfish. It's selfish. It means that we can only focus on the needs and concerns of ourselves. We don't want that to grow cold. I don't want to live in that world. I don't want to live in that world where people are only thinking about themselves. This kind of thinking, this kind of loss of love is dangerous for the body of Christ. This is something that we should consider. Can we fall prey to this mindset? Absolutely. Absolutely we can. There won't be a falling away without a loss of agape love. We have to be careful. That's not us. But that's not all. I found something else interesting as I was going through this week in 2 Thessalonians. If you'll go to 2 Thessalonians with me. 2 Thessalonians. This is talking about the rise of the man of sin, the man who is given power by Satan himself. And in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 10, I'll start in verse 9 just for the context. The coming of the lawless one is according to the working of Satan with all power, signs, and lying wonders, and with all unrighteous deception among those who perish because they did not receive the love of the truth that they might be saved. This word for love of the truth is also agape. We might not always think of it that way, but this word for love of truth is also that self-sacrificing love that we are supposed to show towards God and towards each other. This love for the truth is what we're supposed to have so that we may be saved. We sacrifice ourselves for this truth, don't we? As we get up and read and we follow the instructions. And it makes sense. It makes sense that we can have an agape love for the truth. And when we lose this love of truth, we no longer want to make his ways our ways. Thinking about that and the concept, this concept, if we think about the season that we're just coming out of, right? Yesterday was Christmas Day for most of Christianity. We just got past it. And we've had conversations with our kids, and it's hard. It's hard to be the kid who's the one kid in school that doesn't keep Christmas. It's hard to be the odd man out. Even for us as adults, sometimes it's always to be the awkward one. Well, what are you doing for Christmas? Well, no. We have those conversations, don't we? We just got past it. Kids, you made it. You made it another year. We know the truth, but we know it's not enough to just expose the pagan roots of Christmas, to say that's not right, to say that's evil, that's not what God wants for us. It's not enough. We can't just hate evil. We have to love this way of life. We have to love what's good. We have to love that we are different in the way that we keep the Sabbath, and it all makes sense. It all fits together perfectly. It's not enough to just say, oh, that's bad, and I don't want to be that. But I love what's good. I love the things that are good about this way of life. We have to love the truth. We cannot let our love of the truth grow cold either. Question three from Matthew 24. What does lawlessness have to do with it? Matthew 24, verse 12 says, because lawlessness will abound, love of many will grow cold. Sin and lawlessness, it makes us hardened, doesn't it? It hardens our hearts a little bit. We see what's going on in the world around us, and we see the chaos and the polarization, and we see wars and hate and scandals, and we see the world that the sort of spiral that it's taking, choices that are being made. But does that change the way that we should feel about people? Should it? Should we have disdain for the people around us? Is that what Jesus had? Jesus gave himself while we were all still sinners. He gave all before mankind could even think about repenting. We, more than anyone else, know that this world is under the influence of Satan. But we shouldn't have ill feelings towards those people. They are misled. They're deceived. We know that God's salvation, it's on his timeline. We know that salvation is on his timeline. And he chose to work with a small group of people today. But he's not done with just us. His plan is ultimately for everyone. It's for everyone. Our role today is to live up to our calling. And that is putting on righteousness, being lights to the world. When we go about our day and we see the tragedies of the world, we have what Mr. McNeely would say, a biblical worldview. We know why. We understand. We see what Scripture says and what God's plan of salvation is for all mankind and what he's doing with this small flock today. And we know. And we can use that knowledge and understanding to continue to show towards love, show love towards God, to each other, for the truth, and to our fellow man. Let's go to John 13. John 13, 35. By this, all will know that you are my disciples, because you know the truth. It's because you have love one for another. We should be recognized as the church of God by our clear expression of love for each other. And by extension, our love will go out from there. This is how we will be recognized. This is how God recognizes us. What a calendar year we've had. As we look at what Jesus said about the age and the environment prior to his return, we have a mission. That mission is not to be jaded by the world around us, but is to continue in love. We cannot afford to slip into hate or disdain or even just a sort of, people, mankind, we can do without them. We cannot let our love grow cold. Let's start here. Let's start here with us. If you've had any ill feelings towards someone, let's work on that here. Let's do it together. And then let's continue on to be that beacon of light that we're called to be. We have a beautiful future ahead of us, but we can establish that in our own lives today by making sure that our love doesn't grow cold.